So my daughter makes a habit of texting me when I am absolutely unable to answer the phone, like when I'm unloading the car with groceries or whatever. And yesterday she texted me, "Mom, you're low-key really annoying me with these missed calls."
Wow.
Low-key annoying. I'm just saying, enjoy having a boy, enjoy the age, because you're about to be low-key annoying.
Yeah, you should reply, "You are high-key annoying me from coming out of my vagina and existing for 14 years.
Yeah, I'm going to write that down. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
Listen, we love our children. We do.
Love. I would lay down my life for her, but I would also not mind if she lived at my neighbor's half the time.
Correct.
I don't feel like Monty will ever be like that, though. I don't feel like he's sassy.
He's not. He's not sassy. So he came home the other day from school and he was upset. He had cried at recess. We got an email from his teachers because they were playing tag and he got tagged.
Okay.
So we had a discussion about it.
Wait, he cried because he got tagged?
Mm-hmm.
Does he understand the logistics of tag?
Technically, he was upset because he's convinced that two kids in particular are like just targeting him. Like as soon as one of them is it, they go after him specifically. And I kind of want to be like, run faster.
That would have been my response. I would have been like, there are no participation awards. And here's a move. Do like a 1-2 switch and you're not going to get tagged.
Right. And I wish in some ways, I wish I could show him video of like my life at in elementary school. Because he wants to talk about bullied. Like,
yeah, you were like, I won a Tony Award in a fucking poofy dress. I was on Broadway and I was snorting lines at 12.
Exactly.
At Studio 54. Right. You can fucking handle the tag, bro.
Right. No, but like, I got kicked in the vagina.
And that was just last week by Amber Hunt.
Right, exactly.
Like,
he was upset this past summer because kids at camp were calling him Ed Sheeran. And I was like, Monty, that's not bully. Like, okay, you think it's annoying, but that's not, you're not getting bullied. You're getting.
That's a tease. Also be like, booyah, he's a fucking millionaire and writes fucking songs that people dance at their weddings to. Okay.
Yeah, I'll take
it. Like, that's all you got? Yeah. Like, you guys need to workshop those jokes and then bring them back to me and try and hit me again. Because if that was your best shot, that's pathetic.
I know. And it's hard to tell a 10-year-old to respond that way. But I'm just like, run faster and buck up.
Yeah. Put him on a FaceTime with me. You know what the best way to squelch a bully who thinks they have a cap and they don't at all?
Go for it.
Okay. I'll be Monty. You call me Ed Sheeran.
Okay. Hey, Ed Sheeran.
Wait. Say like, you know who you look like? Ed Sheeran. Okay. I'm giving you a script. Okay. Start over. Ready? Take two. Boop.
Oh, hey. You know who you look like?
Who?
Ed Sheeran.
I know, right? That's it. Just agree with him. And then the bully's like,
you want my Capri Sun?
Yeah. Then the bully's like, yeah, that's right. And you're like, I know.
I know.
That's.
I just agreed with you.
The best, whenever, that's the best way to counter a bully. Just agree with them. This person was coming for me hard about the sound of my voice.
Uh-huh.
And they actually, I said this on a TikTok. They actually said something really funny. They said, Ellen's voice is so annoying that I would rather listen to nails on a chalkboard for reprieve. I was like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Also fair.
Sure.
And then they were just like, yeah.
Oop. Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, the podcast where Daisy and I will give you clapbacks.
Mm-hmm.
For $1.99, you give us your problems, we will give you your clapbacks. I kid. I'm not even that good at it.
I would definitely do that on Cameo.
Shit, hold on. Turn off voice control.
You know I'm keeping that, right? In the audio?
It won't turn off. So it's literally dictating everything I'm saying.
Oh, I hate that. Well, you could put it in your memoir.
Nobody wants to read a memoir.
That that's how I feel about my own. Like, people are like, oh, you should do the Moth radio hour. And I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
I'm so bored of my own fucking stories.
I hate myself.
Ugh.
And my life. The reason why we're here is so that we can judge other people's horrible lives and decisions.
Yeah.
On the television show that is really coming to a close, and I'm sad about it. What are we going to do next? That's a conversation for another time. Love is Blind. Do you know what the biggest compliment we have gotten that just like really warms my heart?
What?
Someone's like, I hate this show. I never wanted to watch it, but I love listening to Ellen and Daisy talk about it, so now I watch it. I was like, first of all, Netflix should be giving us a kickback.
Yes. You're welcome, Netflix.
And number two, that's like the nicest thing.
That's great. If we have introduced you to trash reality television, I really feel like we're doing the Lord's work.
I feel like we've done what we were put on this earth to do.
Yeah. What else is left?
Well, not many episodes. It's actually really funny because when you see the seasons, it's like 16 mm-hmm. episodes, 16 episodes, 15 episodes is like 10.
Wah, wah.
But we are on episode 9. So much going on. We have to dive in. We've done way too much talking. Who are we? Morbid. Let's go.
I was going to say, who are we? Fucking my favorite murder.
They talk for like 35 minutes. And they're like, so should we jump in? I'm like, jump in?
Yeah.
I've already had my lunch and a fucking ice cream cone.
Jenny Slate does that in her stand-up. Like, she'll be 10 minutes in and she'll be like, all right, we'll get started. And then she'll be like 25 minutes in. She's like, but now we're actually going to get started.
I love Jenny Slate.
Really, let's get started.
So when we first started this show, I really just wanted to focus on the show mm-hmm. and not all the online speculation and everything. But the thing is, this season, so many of the contestants are talking online.
Yeah.
Right?
And so many have been cut that there's like, there is a lot of extra fucking tea out there.
There is so much tea. But something that I saw that I actually really wanted to talk about is a lot of people online are coming for Johnny in the fact that she was like hard for Izzy and then turned back to Chris.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people are being like, she's doing like the double back. And I was like, but here's the thing. Last season, when this all happened with Zach and Bliss, everyone was really excited that like Zach found his Bliss, that Zach realized that they came together and then they turned out to have a really great love story. And I just want to say that like this show is so weird and chaotic
mm-hmm.
that like if you're gonna have that much smoke for Johnny
mm-hmm.
and you supported Zach and Bliss last season, that doesn't work for me.
I completely agree. And like we said, like this is how the game is played. And if you're not willing to like go all in, you don't have a lot of time. So you have to fucking jump in with both feet or you're not doing it. Some people are able to do that and some people aren't. And fucking leave her alone, man.
Yeah. I just was like, but last season we loved Zach and Bliss and we were so happy that him and Irina didn't work out. Because this show is so chaotic.
It's so chaotic.
Anyway.
So this season, because there's only two couples left, there's a lot of like extra stuff. Like it's 8 days till the wedding. So we get the selfie cams of them getting their licenses, which is just like, okay.
Not their driver's licenses. Their marriage licenses.
Marriage licenses. Yeah. Also, they make them pay for their marriage license, which I just thought was kind of shitty. But apparently they also have to pay for their weddings.
Something like that. Netflix is like, I know we're Netflix and we have a bajillion dollars and those Stranger Things kids are making $1 million an episode, but you guys are going to have to pay $75 for your marriage licenses.
Yeah, it's so fucked.
Like Netflix, all they get are bagels. That's it. They're like, do you remember the bagels?
We got you bagels.
That was fun. And the fruit.
So then we're going to go into the suit and wedding dresses, which everybody knows is my least favorite. And we start with the women. And I just want to say, did you notice what Renee was wearing?
She was wearing like a white outfit. And
yeah, so they're all wearing white except for Stacey because Stacey's fucking cool.
Yeah.
She's not a girl's girl. But I feel like Renee was like, listen, they cut me out of the beach hang, so I'm going to wear my bikini and sarong to dress shopping. I was like, that is full on a bikini and sarong. I mean, do your life, but okay.
Renee is curiously here and they've not edited her out, but they just keep calling her Pod Squad in her lower third. heard. They were like, she's not here.
I know.
Pretend she's not here. She's just a supportive friend.
And then shut the fuck up, Vanessa Lachey. Honestly, looks like a 19th century ghost that's hanging out in the corner of your house. What is that?
She's wearing white. She's like, yes. Look, I was a bride once too. Let me make this about me. Should we all wear white? Girlies, yeah. What are we wearing today? Like, she texted the group chat and she was like, hey, girlies, are we all wearing white today, bitches? Okay. She gets more and more uncomfortable with every passing season.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And so she introduces, she's like, we have Lydia and Lydia's mom and Lydia's friends and her brother. And we have Stacy and Stacy's mom and her sisters and Renee.
Poor fucking Renee. But also gay brother William is here to give sassy snaps in the corner. We love him.
We do. We really do. So my favorite line from this little bit was that Vanessa asks Mama Lydia what she thinks of Milton. And I think this is a language. This has to be a language barrier because she says very emotional. And I was like, surely you don't mean that Milton is very emotional.
I think she misunderstood and meant like, how do you feel or something?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, she was like, I feel very emotional.
Because Mama Lydia is just the sweetest. I will take a spinoff show of Mama Lydia and Mama Raina just smiling and giving me hugs or something.
Yes.
Netflix needs to greenlight that.
Speaking of which, when Milton said, my mom always said your perception is your reality, before we met his mother, I was picturing her like a Mama Raina or a Mama Lydia. Like, I was picturing her, like, with her arm around him, you know, he's been bullied or whatever, and she's like, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was literally someone was like, you're a bitch. And she was like, well, your perception is your reality.
Exactly. I was thinking of a very, like, sweet Monique moment, you know, when Monique gets all, like, baby, listen to me. I could listen to Monique talk like that for forever, but no, it is the antithesis of a suite. Now, we are going to the dudes, and they are trying on suits, and shut the fuck up, Nick Lachey is here. First of all, I fucking love how trapped in his life Nick Lachey is. So Nick asks Milton, like, how does it feel? And Milton's like, you know, she's a firecracker. There's never a dull moment. And then Nick Lachey, who is absolutely trapped in his life and his choices, says,
as someone who is married to someone who's loud and has a lot of energy, it's a lot of fun, man. Just hold on for dear life. It's like riding a bull. Just, you know, hold on. Just don't fall off.
And I just imagine poor Nick Lachey being like, it's so fun. She's really loud. She dominates everything.
No, I love it. I love it. It's great.
Conversations.
I love it.
The reunions. Oh, dear God. Someone save me. Can anyone hear me? I'm Nick Lachey. I need help. This is my cry for help. Please, if you could just meet me outside, pull up. We will drive far, far away. Someone needs to check in on Nick Lachey. I don't think he's okay.
No, I don't think he is either. But Milton is, I mean, Milton has never looked happier as far as I can tell. Like, he is beaming.
He's very sweet and he does look really happy. Mm-hmm. And all the men are there, including Carter.
Yeah.
And we only see the back of his bald ass head.
Yeah. Did you notice that nobody from Milton's family was there?
His friends were there. Yeah. He had like his buddies.
Yeah. Poor guy.
And then to leave off this moment, Nick Lachey says, soon you'll be making the most important decision of your lives. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did Gwyneth Paltrow teach you all nothing? Because every decision we make every day can impact your life tomorrow, a month from now, 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Every circumstance and how you respond to it shapes your fucking destiny.
See, I thought you were talking about Goop era Gwyneth Paltrow, where it's like she takes herself so seriously, so everything is important. But you were talking about Sliding Doors era.
Correct. Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm never going to be talking about Goop era Gwyneth Paltrow. I kind of ignore her existence. Or like Bone Broth.
Right.
Gwyneth Paltrow is a no for me.
Yannick Egg.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
I love it when she's like, and there you have it. I just cook up some bone broth and that sustains me for 6.5 days.
Did you see that? I can't remember who she told, The Guardian or Rolling Stone or something, that her lowest moment in the pandemic was when she broke down and ate bread.
Oh, I heard that. I heard that, Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. That's where I just was like, now we cut it. And I just like,
that's it.
I think after Shakespeare in Love, you fell off the map.
So we're back with the women in the dressing room in their bridal nonsense. Stacy's mom Tracy is actually her name,
mm-hmm.
basically says, you know, Stacey is shallow. She has always judged men by how they look. And this show has forced her to have a conversation with a man.
Right.
And really get to know him before she puts his peen in her veen.
Yeah. It is the most, it's like my mom being like, Ellen is lovely. She's a fucking basket case, but that's why we love her. It's like, Mom, can you not see that on fucking Netflix?
You're embarrassing me. I shudder to think what my parents would say about me on a television show. Like, I wouldn't put them anywhere near a camera. I would be terrified.
Yeah. What do you think about Stacey's denim Mrs. Zapata jacket?
You know, her friend bedazzled it for her. Again, like all the other women are wearing white, and she's wearing this like jean carpenter shirt, you know, with Mrs. Zapata on the back. Fine.
Well, she says like, I just don't want to dress that's basic.
Oh, God.
And I was like, are you actually auditioning for the Californians?
Yeah.
At all times, she's just like, get back on San Vicente and take the 10. I'm gonna switch over to the 405 and let it dump you out on Mulholland.
She says about Izzy, we love him. He is the boss. And yeah, she says, I showed the jacket to Izzy this morning and he got teary-eyed. And I was like, oh my God, why are you crying? Has this woman ever met a human being in her life? This man is not allowed to cry when he's sad. He's not allowed to cry when he's happy. He's not allowed to cry when he's drunk.
Remember when Aaliyah was crying and she was like, you are strong.
Yeah.
Zip it. Wipe those tears.
Yes.
No more crying. And I was like, I know you're trying to make her feel better, but also like usually when someone's crying in front of me, I'm like, cry it out. Cry it out.
Cry.
Do you want me to cry with you?
Yeah.
Give me the sign. I will cry with you right now.
You know, in this moment, I'm realizing that Stacey and Milton, as much as we love Milton, although he's apparently problematic, I think they would be a great match because they would just both be like, what feelings? What are you talking about? She says, this is supposed to be fun. I'm like, yes, of course, but also this is a relationship.
Yeah,
you know,
which are not fun. Wait, what? So now we have the bridal parade and Stacey goes first, and the way she is looking at this wedding dress, it was like a little kid came and finger painted poop on it. Like, if a moldy sponge had a face, it would be Stacey's face. I was like, babe, why did you come out in a dress if you hate it that much? Just be like, nope, this is a no. You know when you try something on and you're like, nope, I can tell immediately this is a no.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this right now?
Yeah, she wants it to be fun and weird and not basic. She says, maybe I'll chop up a dress and make my own. Okay. Okay. We get it. We get it.
And then just as she says she doesn't want a basic dress, she comes out in her second dress, which is
the most basic dress.
It's like a vanilla cupcake of a dress.
Yeah.
I don't care what you wear. Fashion, express yourself however you want. I don't care. But also, I always think to myself, the designer of that dress is probably watching the show.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, my God, I work for that bridal place or whatever. And then she's looking at it like it's a poop dress.
Yeah.
And that designer is like, oh, I thought that dress was really beautiful. It's like, you can just be like, no, this isn't me.
Yeah. And you're right. Like, this, she comes out in the second dress. I literally wrote this down. She says, and look, I have zero fashion sense. You know, I'm trying my best, but like, I have to look at so much Pinterest before I buy clothes because I have no idea how they work.
If anyone wants to come and teach Daisy how to put on pants, it'd be great. It's taken her a long ass time.
I would appreciate it. What I don't understand is how that first dress was boring and basic and the second dress was gorgeous. To me, they look like the same dress, and the second dress literally looked like a Disney princess dress.
It was Cinderella's dress.
Yes. It was, I was just like, how is that not basic?
It was just bodice and like a cupcake. Everything is fine. Whatever you like is fine. But the other one was like intricate and like beaded and lacy. And if that's not your style, that's totally cool. I want a basic dress.
I don't want a basic dress.
I want a Stacey dress.
I want a dress that doesn't have anything on it. I want it to be not basic.
I want to look like a cross between Cinderella and Ariel.
Ariel.
But the funniest thing is when Stacy comes out in this dress and Lydia's like, this is it. This is it. But I always make up a narrative. And in my head, Lydia is like, this is it because you've tried on 72 dresses. Yeah. But they edited that part out. And Lydia was actually saying, this is it, Stacy. This is the last dress you're trying on.
I cannot watch you put another dress on.
That's the narrative that I made up in my head. Honestly, this is it. I will leave. She like calls over to the PA. She's like, Carl, I will leave this. I will leave this bridal boutique now if this isn't it.
It's my turn. Yeah. And in the middle of all this, we go back to the men, and Izzy tells his mom that he and Stacy communicate really well, that they have that as a foundation, which is really going to make their marriage strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering what Izzy thinks a foundation is. Because as far as I'm concerned, like, they haven't even sat down with a designer to even start looking at plans.
Okay, so when you were talking about foundation, I thought you were making a Stacy makeup joke. Because that could have really gone either way, because she uses her contour as her foundation.
She does. You're right.
Okay. But yes, I agree.
They have that as a foundation instead of her highlighter.
Yeah. Izzy is really very confused. And Milton really looks like giggly and smiley.
I know. He's so happy. Izzy says, I'm not nervous at all. I'm like, can I live where you live, please? Can I be there? Mm-hmm. How do you get there?
I also love that Milton is like talking to all of his friends and all the like dudes. And then Mama Reina is just sitting there. I remember Mama Reina is Izzy's mom. And she is just so precious. She's like, hey, guys, like, where are we going next? Yeah, we're going to go play darts. Like, Mama Reina is just like one of the guys.
I love her.
It's just Milton, his bros, Mama Reina.
I love it. She's probably like, you know what? His mom's not here. I will be there.
Yeah. The production's like, psst, Mama Reina, did you want to be in this bro chat? Yeah, you do. Okay, great. Stay there. Stay there.
Here's a bagel.
Yeah.
And Milton tells them that he loves Lydia's fiery personality. He says she's a little more emotional than me. And I don't think he meant it ironically. I don't think he meant it like she's a little more. Like, I think he was literally like, she, you know, she's a little more emotional. I was like, yeah, honey, she's at a 14 and you're at a 2.
Yeah.
But I have a question real quick going back to Stacy. Did you notice the tag on the veil that was on her head?
No, tell me. I love that you noticed something niche and weird.
It said 1K on it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I went to a couple dressing fittings with friends because I told you already I did not do a dressing fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those bridal boutiques, the minute you put like bride in front of it, it's just double it and add a 0.
You think it was $1,000 of it?
Probably. Yeah.
Does it come with?
It comes with your first mortgage payment. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Honestly, they got it from Shein for $398.
And I Googled wedding veils and I did not see one for $1,000.
Mm.
You are freebasing crack cocaine if you're spending $1,000 on a veil.
Correct. Yeah. It's literally just a piece of organza on your head.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Like, everybody take a deep breath. Yeah, I wrote that Milton seems super happy. He really does.
Great. And he just is worried that his pants aren't going to be long enough. I was like, listen, get 2 pairs of pants, sew them together, give Jack the Beanstalk a right pair of fitting pants, and we're good.
Yeah.
Milton's like, listen, I'm so tall, I'm going to die soon. So
pull a Stacy and get several pants, chop them up and make your own.
Milton, we want that for you. So now it's Lydia's turn to come out in her dress. Her Grand Tetons are on display.
They sure are.
And she says she's always dreamed of her wedding. Did you dream of getting married?
No. I know a lot of women have.
Am I a sociopath or am I gay? Like, what am I? I never sat and dreamed of my wedding. Like, I dreamed of taking a bow on a Broadway stage, and like, I never was like, I cannot wait to walk down the aisle. And I'm not being an asshole. I just like,
no, I know you are being a pick me right now, but no,
I'm not trying to be a pick me. I'm just like, am I missing a chip? Like, whenever I'm being gaslit, I'm like, wait, am I the narcissist? I always say like, what's wrong with me?
Oh yeah.
Why didn't I dream of my wedding? Maybe that's why like my marriage failed, because like I didn't dream hard enough or something. I'm like Tinkerbell.
We all just needed to clap harder for you.
Yeah.
Your parents' marriage was caca.
Yeah, bad.
And did they have a big wedding?
No, not at all. I think they had like 10 people at their wedding because my grandfather didn't want my mom to marry my dad, which should have been a red flag. Mm. But my mom was like, I'm going to do this anyway. Yeah. And then I had my own red flags and I was like, I'm going to do this anyway. Mm-hmm, so fingers crossed that Lola's a lesbian.
Oh, I hope so. I hope that for everybody.
Not that lesbians don't have problems in bad marriages.
Absolutely. She just shouldn't date my ex. Yeah, no. My parents got married like literally during a student sit-in at Columbia University. They were protesting the university's like support of the Vietnam War and they'd like taken over the buildings on the campus. Like somebody got a hold of the priest and he climbed in through the window and married them like on the spot. Someone handed up a ring to my mother. Mm-hmm. And then I believe they got arrested like immediately after that.
Great. That's actually really poetic. I think everyone should get arrested and be like, listen, you're going to get married, then we're going to send you to prison, but just for like 48 hours.
It's a metaphor.
It is a metaphor. We should all look into that.
I think that that's probably why we didn't think like dream. It just wasn't in our culture, like in our family culture.
Probably. That's it. Let's blame it on our families. Anyway.
So yeah, so Lydia has always dreamed of her wedding for as long as she has been alive. And she tries on this first dress. And again, I am bad at clothes. Mm-hmm. She says she wants something more form-fitting. And then she comes out in the second dress, which as far as I can see is exactly the same cut.
Right. I think it has to do with her Grand Tetons and how they're being held in, I think.
But both of them had really tight bodices with her tetas on display. Mm-hmm. And then they had the poofy A-line skirt.
Yeah.
See, I know A-line.
Look at you.
So I was incredibly confused because she was like, the second dress, she comes out and she's like, this is gorgeous. This is it. And I'm like, that's the same dress.
Yeah. She also wanted to know, you know, if she could move in the dress. Obviously, raise her arms, see if the top fits. And then, you know, she drops it like it's hot. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hold on, can I twerk in this?
Yeah. You know what? These are important questions.
Mm-hmm. She says that this was always what she imagined. And Mama Lydia is crying and everyone is crying. Mm-hmm. Why are we crying? Lydia says every heartbreak was worth it because she found her person. Mm-hmm. You all know we don't have a person, right? Like I said this back many years ago. We don't have soulmates.
No.
Do you believe in soulmates, Stacey?
No. Nope.
We don't have people. We live by the proximity theory. Your soulmate is not the kid you sat next to in biology your senior year of college. That's the kid you sat next to in biology and you fell in love with that person and you made that work.
Yeah, that's like a friend of mine was suddenly dating this guy and she said, we've known each other since kindergarten. And she showed me her kindergarten picture and he was there. And I was like, oh, did you know you've been friends this whole time? And she was like, no, I haven't seen him since then. And I was like, so you knew him in kindergarten is what you're saying.
Right. You met him once a really long time ago.
That's nothing.
Right. I dated someone that I went to high school with, but after high school, but we were never friends in high school.
Yeah.
It was like a funny story, but yeah, no. Yeah. And we didn't keep in touch, nothing.
Some kids at MIT did a study once where they literally broke down by radius, gender, sexuality, like how many potential partners there were and age for them in a certain radius of Boston, I guess, to like try to disprove the theory of soulmates. It's fascinating. They like literally used math
it's
to disprove.
The proximity theory. Yeah. Lydia looks beautiful.
Yep.
The camera keeps panning to Renee, like taunting us with the fact that we edited her out and the fact that we actually still don't know the full story, even though we've heard 17 stories as to why she's been edited out. Yeah. Like, I feel Netflix was like, I know something you don't know. I'm like, fuck off, Netflix. Yes, you win. Great.
Yeah, it's definitely the carrot and the stick method. So then we go to Izzy, who's taking Stacy on a special romantical thing. He says her dad says she likes to ride on private jets, and her dad said that love is flying first class, so he got her something that he thinks she's really gonna love.
He's like, listen, I already have enough credit card debt.
So
we're gonna get to it. We're gonna get to it. Do not jump the gun, Daisy, my love.
I cannot help it.
All right, Daisy ruined it. You guys, he pronounces the B in depth.
Listen, I try not to judge people for how they speak because we all have different levels of access to education.
Oh, I fuck up my words all the time. Yeah. I can barely string a sentence together.
Yeah, but if you have had to declare bankruptcy because of your debts, then you should know how to pronounce it.
I do pronounce the P in receipts just because it's funny.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like, but why did we do that? It's like we were making the English language and we were like, let's make this like super hard for people that are trying to learn this as a second language and just throw like a G in Nat and a fucking H in spaghetti receipts.
Yeah, there's a kid's book about the alphabet that's called P is for Pterodactyl.
It's so funny. Yeah. But I was like, you're in-depth, so you should know better than to pronounce the B. I would break up with you then and there just for pronouncing the B in-depth. That's in the future of this episode.
I am surprised that Stacy doesn't break up with him then and there, considering how important being depth-free is. But let's get to that. So, I'm sorry, I cut you off, so... please continue. He says she likes to fly first class.
And so I'm going to take you for a ride in a private jet that I arranged all by myself. Netflix didn't have anything to do with this. This will be how our dates are for forever.
For the rest of our lives.
It's like The Bachelor, but it's Love is Blind, and this is first class because that's what love is.
And it is a little prop plane that is loud as fuck, where they have to wear orange earplugs. And something tells me that that's not what Stacy's dad meant.
No, she meant like warm cookies and real silverware.
And champagne.
When you guys fly to Dubai.
I was like, oh,
yeah,
Izzy.
I was like, honey, you know when the cameras start rolling, you're going to be at Outback Steakhouse like the rest of us, right? You're not going to be eating in a plane hangar.
Also, where does that food actually come from?
Izzy,
because it happens, there's another scene later with food in an incongruous place. But anyway, they're having a romantic dinner in the airplane hangar. Stacy says, thank you.
I just wrote the vocal fry.
And then I wrote this quote down and now I don't know who said it. It never will get old to sit across from you like this. I find you very interesting.
Izzy said that to Stacy. And he also said there's never a dull moment. I was like, maybe seeing how she's going to apply her makeup every day, but there are so many dull moments in life. When people are like, there's never a dull moment, there's always moments.
I wrote, I promise you, it will get old. I promise
everything
you
will get old.
Yeah.
The way someone breathes will get old. Yeah. Their cooking will get old. Their greasy hair will get old. Every moment is a dull moment until it's not. There are more dull moments than not. Stop saying that.
And also, if you've ever watched The Good Place, you know that, like, if everything was perfect always and forever, it would not be special anymore. So you don't want that because you're going to be like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Thank you.
Stacy says, you're just so calm. You're like calming. You're like my calm in the storm.
Yep.
Like, keep calm and marry Izzy. Keep calm. And I was like, please stop saying calm. I don't know what you mean by that. And shut up.
He's like, this is going to be so much fun. And she's like, this is really calm. He gives her this long romantic speech. And her response to it is,
take it or leave it. I am so confused.
Also, while she's talking about how calming he is sawing at that steak. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a pile of, like, damp cardboard. I have never seen somebody work so hard to cut a steak.
He's been in debt. He hasn't had a good steak for a while. Good steak is hard to find. And they talk about their wedding song, what their first dance is going to be. Did you have a wedding song? Like, what was your first dance to?
Yeah, we did. It was to Alison Krauss's cover of the Beatles song, I Will. It's like one of the most beautiful things in the world. And I'm sad that I spent it on him.
Oh, man, I know.
What about you?
Our first dance was to Coldplay's Yellow.
Aw.
And I do love that song to this day. I walked down the aisle to Eva Cassidy's Songbird.
I don't know it.
I am sending you that song today. Please. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. I do know the Beatles song, but...
Can you also send me... Oh, Alison Krauss's cover of it is...
I'm going to listen to it today.
Fucking heaven. Can you send me a picture of your wedding dress that you picked out at Nordstrom Rack? Great.
Yeah. No, not Nordstrom Rack. The regular Nordstrom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Love a deal. It was full price, but it was $495. Then I treated myself to my one and only pair of Louboutins, which were more expensive than my dress.
Yeah.
The Louboutins were $500 and the dress wasn't $500. So I was like, this is great. But they practice their first dance, and you know they're dancing to no music.
They're dancing to no music, and also your first dance is going to be to whatever non-licensed thing Netflix will have the DJ play.
Right.
Unless they are covering up the actual music that the DJs are playing, but every time we've seen a wedding, it has been no song that anyone has ever heard in their life.
That's probably it. They probably cover it up, but you know there's no like speakers in this airplane hangar.
No, it's
they're
so
like,
awkward.
Let's dance, and all the PAs are like, we don't have speakers. And then they just add the music after. I was like,
oh, see, I thought it was the producers being like, why don't you get up and dance? But also didn't have any music set up. Oh, do they have their phones by then?
Maybe they do, yeah, because they're out living their real life.
Yeah.
Also, Stacey has had a perfect manicure this whole show.
Has it been the same exact color?
It has been the same exact color. I'm just saying that I go get a manicure and it is fucked up by the time I get to the car.
Wait.
I'm just that woman.
No. Are you using regular nail polish in your manicures?
Oh, not gel. That's the
thing,
right? No.
Don't do gel because gel has a UV. You got to do dip powder.
Dip powder? That's how it stays?
Oh my God. Look, I'm the same with manicures. I would get a manicure and 5 seconds after I left the shop, it was fucked up. I can do a dip powder manicure and that shit stays for 3 weeks. I garden, I paint, I cook, it's like a cockroach after the nuclear disaster.
Okay. This is the straightest I've ever seen you.
I know.
Look at you.
I even bought a home nail dip kit.
Oh, I'm going to do it. Every time her nails look perfect, I'm like, I'm just not that person. I'm the person who has a messy purse and I fuck up. I always go back. Yeah. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I hit it on my steering wheel.
I'm telling you, I'm changing your life. Do the dip powder.
You've already changed my life in so many ways.
It's basically super glue with like highly pigmented powder, but I don't give a fuck. It's so great.
Great. We're all going to die. It's fine.
Exactly.
When you edit this, do you see what your long ums look like?
Yeah.
Before I even look at it, that's Daisy going,
That's true.
Isn't it funny the things you notice now that you edit?
Yes. And I also know that a lot of times my you knows look like penises.
We both say you know a lot and I cut a lot of them.
Yeah. So while they're dancing, or maybe before, he said he felt so loved and welcomed by her family. And I just wrote, that shit must have been cut.
We did not feel that for you, but
sure
I'm happy
didn't.
That you felt that. The editors did you dirty because you were sitting like a little Keebler elf on that big chair. But good for you. If you feel loved, it doesn't matter what we think.
Everybody has a different threshold.
We are here for the grab bag and the snark. You're not going to hear this, Izzy, so I'm happy for you, man. Good job.
And Stacey basically comes back with, well, they really loved how you make me feel. They didn't love you so much. It's like, they just love how I am with you.
Because the whole poor thing.
Yikes.
You know? Yeah.
And in that moment, I was like, oh, I completely forgot about his upbringing and his dad who wasn't his dad. That all had gone out of my head.
The Jehovah's Witness.
Yes.
Has he been to a wedding?
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah, I don't know. Now we're at lunch with Milton and Sister Jessica. I was hoping she wasn't going to grace my screen for a couple minutes, but here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really making it a point to say how fun and passionate and emotional and cool Lydia's family is. Uh-huh. And Jessica's like, well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, I mean, like, they have fun and they talk to each other and they're kind and they don't undercut each other. You know, the stuff that our family does, her family is like the opposite.
She's like, what do you mean? I don't even understand.
Jessica's like, what makes you so sure? And then Milton's like, well, I have collected all the data and I have processed all the data to make a decision. And Jessica's like, she sounds like a science project. I was like, lady, you say you know your brother. This is how he analyzes stuff.
You know what? We've only known what Netflix will show us. And we already knew that about Milton. So where are you? You know, 5 seconds later, she says, marriage is like a business arrangement. And I'm like, okay, so if it can be like a business arrangement, why can't it also be like a science project?
Yeah, shut up, Sister Jessica. I don't know what's going to happen with Milton and Lydia. You are absolutely allowed to share your reservations. You're absolutely allowed to share your concerns for your brother. But she's just so curt about everything.
She really is. She asks, like, what did Lydia think of the family? And he says she thought it was pretty intense. And Jessica's surprised. She's like, intense?
I thought that was a perfectly lovely word to describe what that meeting felt like to us. We weren't there for the whole time. But I think intense is a very generous word to use.
Yeah. And then when he says, like, her family is just passionate and giving, she goes, what do you mean passionate? She goes, we're passionate. We give. I'm like, sweetheart.
You give snark.
Yeah, you give snark and you probably give money. But that's not what we're talking about. She says that with a marriage, you want to feel like you can sacrifice everything for this person. And again, if you're at all confused, I just want to make sure that everybody understands that that is not what marriage is or a relationship with anybody ever. Okay? Never. A. B, his sister's like, is she going to take your last name? And he says, I told her it's mandatory that she take my last name.
Right.
I don't believe in hyphen. Names. That's not something to believe in or not. That's just an actual thing that exists in the world.
Well, also taking of the last name is back when like women were property and like I don't care what you do. People do it all the time. Yeah. But also it's a made up thing.
And it's not
patriarchal.
Yeah. And it's not your fucking call. What if she already has a career that her name is attached to? What if she doesn't want to? Fuck off.
Then she's like, well, have you talked about parenting styles? While I recognize that is a very important conversation, I love it when non-parents talk about parenting styles, because I remember talking about my parenting styles and being like, I'm never going to put my daughter in front of a screen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, talk to me when you have been home with your kid all day, every day, and you want to go to the fucking Olive Garden with your friend and engage in some kind of a conversation for 15 minutes, you're putting your kid in front of a screen. You know?
I wrote the same thing. I said, no one knows what their parenting style is before they have a fucking kid. And she should know that because she has a kid.
Exactly. I think the only conversation you need to have is like, do you want kids?
Yeah. Look, you can say like, do you believe in spanking?
Sure.
That is something that you can hold to, but like, you don't know what your parenting style is going to be. You don't know.
No, I still don't know what my parenting style is.
Me neither.
My parenting style is try not to be a cunt all the time.
Yeah, and keep their head on. Like, if their head is on at the end of the day, you did a good job.
I used to say that to my mom when Lola was a baby. She would call and be like, hey, how are you? How's the baby? I'd be like, alive. And that's another win for me today. All you have to do is figure out how to keep that tiny human alive every day.
I was in a group of moms, like in a breastfeeding support group when Monty was really little. We used to take all the babies to the park on Fridays so we could have like adult conversations, like before they could crawl even.
Right.
And it was like, what kind of diapers are you using? Oh, no, you can't use that kind because it doesn't have organic cotton. And you can't use this food because it doesn't have this. And you can't feed them apples because the seeds have arsenic. And you can't sleep with them this way. And I finally said, you know what? Some moms smoke crack.
Yeah.
I think we're doing okay.
It's so true.
Jesus.
Like, there is no such thing as talking about parenting styles. Take it from two old ladies who have one kid.
Why would somebody do that more than once?
Whenever I complain, I think of people who have more than one. Uh-huh. I was actually telling Lola about, I had a miscarriage after Lola. Lola, with her whole chest, says to me, well, thank God that happened. You wouldn't have been able to handle two of me.
Ooh.
I was like, first of all, true. But second of all, don't say that, you fucking monster.
I'm sorry. Did you mean to get pregnant?
No.
Oh. Mm-mm. Were you devastated?
It's so weird looking back because it was so strange because I kind of knew my marriage was falling apart at the time. I always envisioned having two kids, but I remember thinking like I didn't want to do it like this. So I was devastated and confused at the time because I kind of knew divorce was on the horizon.
Yeah.
It was really complicated.
I got pregnant when Monty was just about a year old because I like to say we both missed that day of sex ed where they tell you how babies are made.
Right.
And I knew I was because my chest started to break out. And I was like, oh no. We were like, what are we going to... We were so broke. We were so unhappy. We were like, well, I guess we could move into a studio apartment. And I just realized, like, I wouldn't have been able to give Monty any sort of good, positive life if I had the second one. Plus, my postpartum depression was bad enough with Monty that I thought, like, I don't want to risk it.
Right.
Now I look back and I'm like, oh man, that would be a good age spread. But like, I don't know how we would have survived.
Yeah. So Jessica, shut up.
So shut the fuck up, now, Jessica.
Just shut the fuck up, Jessica. So now we're at Izzy and Stacy packing up their imaginary apartment. And Izzy is packing a suitcase. And if you haven't seen the episode, I don't exactly know how to explain his packing style other than he basically took a pile of his dirty clothes and took the whole pile and put it in a suitcase. It's like how cartoons pack. Like they just like
dump the dresser into
it. They dump it. It's a pile. Yeah. It's a literal pile. It's like the producers were like, do something funny with that suitcase. And he's like, gotcha.
Got it.
It's so weird.
You can tell right off the bat that something is wrong. Like the tension in that room.
Yeah. Stacy's got a bee in her fucking bonnet about something. Yep. She is annoyed and Izzy is kind of giving that like side glance. He's like, what is it, my packing?
Izzy's packed like a cartoon character. The tension is so thick, you could cut it a lot better than that steak he was cutting in that last scene. Then I guess Stacy's like, should we talk about it?
And she's like, I don't know if I can trust you. Now, apparently we're coming in. They've already had a conversation. Clearly. Off camera.
Also, it's one day to the wedding. That's why he's packing up, is he's going to go stay somewhere else. They are getting married tomorrow.
Right. She's like, I've asked you about credit card stuff before, because he doesn't have credit cards, which is a mistake. You need to put every penny on a credit card so you get those points. She is like the definition of talking in a circle, because I agree with like taking finances very seriously. And this actually brings up a bigger conversation that we don't teach kids and young people how important finances are. Like, you get that credit card when you go to school and there's like a 72% APR and you don't know what that means, and it can really fuck up your life and your credit and your financial stability.
I had a voiceover audition once many, many, many years ago. It was for like Visa, and it was a credit card that they were aiming at college students. Mm-hmm. The copy was basically like, get in debt now. You have the rest of your life to pay it off. And I was like, I can't say that.
Yeah. It is an important conversation. I get it. But Stacy is not making it any better. She's like, I asked you if you had a credit card. I asked if you wanted double cash back. I asked you if you got points for upgrades. Like, don't you care about upgrades? What about free checked luggage? There's so many benefits.
It turns out that I guess they were at a gas station. She was probably like, oh, hey, can we just use your card? I don't have my wallet. Whatever the fuck. And she found out that he doesn't have any credit cards. And she's like, why? Yeah. Which is a really fair question. He doesn't give her an answer. And they don't say this in this talk, but clearly he went bankrupt and his credit got fucked. But she's like, it didn't occur to you in that moment to explain that to me? And he's like, no. Which is, come on, dude.
Which I think is shitty, but also she doesn't make it very easy.
That's true.
He's already really embarrassed and he already is in a place and she's already said, like, we're never going to go Dutch. You need to have enough money to support me. I need to fly first class. So she's kind of set this conversation up to be more difficult than it already is.
I think then what needed to happen, and this is again another argument for why they should have a couples therapist on hand for these people, is that I think he needs to say to her, we need to talk. Like, it's hard for me to talk to you about finances because we come from such different places. But he doesn't say that. He just brushes it under the rug and hopes that it'll get resolved at some other point. And he keeps saying, I wanted to have a formal conversation with you, which clearly they did need to have that conversation. Also, the conversation that needed to happen was, I am scared to talk to you about this because because of how mm-hmm. differently we approach money and from how vastly different we are when it comes to finances. So I've been scared to say this. But there's no healthy communicating going on, even though in the last scene he just said they have really great communication.
Also, you can say, I made mistakes and I'm super not proud yeah. of it. Can you help me? You're so good with finances. I want to get better, because you can. Yeah. You can fix your credit. But then he says this is all over $3,500. No. And I was like, double it and add a zero. I don't think this is all about $3,500. This is about $3,500. I don't believe that. I think he's trying to dumb that down. I'm not begrudging him for making financial mistakes. I think we as a society do not stress that mm-hmm. to young people enough, how it really does follow right. you the rest of your life. But also, you just can't ignore it. It's very unhealthy, this conversation, even though it's a necessary
yeah. I mean, I think it's not helped by the fact that she's wearing her hat like a member of Crisscross from the early 90s. What is that? Half sideways, half back. I'm like, oh, all right, go to your late 80s hip hop group. So that's when he says he's had depths with a B and he's not in debt anymore. And then he says, Stacey, you know me better than anyone in the world except my mother.
But yikes. Maybe that's true. Maybe being Jehovah's Witness, he didn't have a lot of close connections. I don't know. Oh. It's all very strange. Izzy speaks in absolutes all the time. This is the best night of my life. You're the best. You're my best friend. This is the yeah. most fun I've ever had. Take mm-hmm. it down a notch.
They both need to take it down a notch. He needs to take his hyperbole down a notch. She needs to take her like judgment and like quick to be a shitty person down a notch. And to Stacey's yeah. credit, I mean, maybe it's not to her credit, but I do see, like, she does actively try to, like, break the tension by sort of making physical contact with him, which I think is healthy. In a healthy relationship, one of the best things to do when you're having a fight is, like, hold hands or touch. And mm-hmm. to just remind yourself, I love this person, I'm on this person's side, we are on the same side, so that you don't fly off the rails.
Except don't try to have makeup yeah. sex, because gross. My ex-husband always used to do that. I'm like, I'm not mad, but I also don't want you on top
yeah,
of me.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend would do that. We had a fight. One of our many, many fights. We weren't even together that long. Lasted about 8 hours through the entire day. And then she sort of like, you know, made it clear that we needed to have makeup sex. And when it was done, she was like, I'm going to need more of that when I get home. And that's when I left her for good.
It doesn't make it better. But I do agree. Just kind of like feeling that yeah. like kinetic energy.
Yeah, this is someone I who I love and we are pulling together. So we leave them there. And then we meet Milton and Lydia. He has also set up a romantic date. You're right. This is now becoming The Bachelor. In the crystal mm-hmm. and gems and minerals exhibit at the museum. So nice.
They go to a rock museum mm-hmm. and there's cases of rocks. And Milton says he always yeah. feels at home here. So many questions. I don't know where to start. And he's just geeking out over the rocks. These producers,
yes, they are.
They're working with scraps. They're at the end of Project Runway and they're like, I don't know, make a dress out of candy wrappers. They're really, really trying to piece this season together. There's a table with a dinner. And just when I forget how young Milton is, he is wearing a shirt that looks like it was yeah. crumpled mm-hmm. in a ball under his bed with the yeah. dust monkeys. It is so wrinkled. It almost
and
looks intentional.
And the conversation that they end up having is about how messy he is.
And he starts the conversation by going, oh, I have gum in my mouth. I need to spit
Milton.
It somewhere. I was like, did anyone on production want to be like, Milton, let me iron that for you real quick? He looks like he is at the peak of the lockdown yep. of COVID. And I was like, no,
yeah,
you're
and
on
I actually
TV.
Didn't even notice the wrinkled shirt until after he said, I'm trying my best, but I'll try harder. And she was like, this is trying your best. And then I saw that his shirt was wrinkled and I almost fell on the floor.
Go back. It's not like wrinkled once. Yeah. It was in a ball. It was in a ball mm-hmm. wrapped in tinfoil. It is the wrinkliest shirt I've ever seen. Is that a word? If it's
you
not,
know what?
I just invented it.
Is now. It. Something I learned from a therapist many, many, many years ago when I was with my first husband was I would come in and I would complain that he never did the dishes. My mm-hmm. therapist said, so do the dishes. And I was like, but he should do the dishes. And she said, so then leave the dishes. And I was like, but I want the dishes to get done. And she said, so do the dishes. And I said, but he should do the dishes. Well, then leave them for him to do it. I realized, I was like, oh, if it bothers me, then take care of it. Clearly, it doesn't bother him. And you can't make right. somebody care about that kind. I mean, you can, but it's not going to be pleasant.
You know, part of me thinks, like, people keep homes very differently. That can be a source of a lot of tension. Part of me just thinks, like, whatever, things aren't deal breakers. But then I thought to myself, I once told one of my exes that leaving the toilet seat up really bothered me. It just, it makes the bathroom look ugly. It just bothered me. And he never changed his behavior. In one instance, it's like, oh, I can just put the toilet seat down. But in another instance, it's like he didn't have that one second of thought when he was like dripping his dragon dry to be like, oh, you know what? Ellen told me that bothers her.
Yeah.
Let me put it down. So in one instance, it was like, you're not hearing me. And also, I'm not a very picky, high-maintenance
person to
begin with.
But also, the toilet seat is a different thing because, A, men are incapable of peeing without getting it on the seat and or rim. And if he leaves it up and you go to pee in the middle of the night, your butt's going to fall in and you're inevitably going to sit on his old pee. You're going to fall down into the toilet. To me, that's a little different than like being annoyed at somebody for the dishes. Well, it's also, if it matters that much to you, the toilet seat thing, I think, is a non-starter. Like, put the fucking seat down. End of discussion. But things like the dishes or vacuuming or leaving your clothes around, like, if it bothers you that much, then make a chore chart. I don't think that's a terrible idea. Have a chore chart. Or you have to decide, like my husband did, that, like, okay, my wife can't unpack a bag when she gets home from somewhere. And I either have to decide that I love her more than I hate the bag on the floor, or pick a fight about it.
Right. Well, they're having this conversation and he goes back to the Uche situation. He's basically saying, I didn't like the way you handled that. And he is very calm. I appreciate this conversation.
And you felt like I was judging you. Like, I don't feel like I can tell you, like, honestly how I feel a lot, because, like, you are so, like, emotional. Which isn't like a bad thing, but it's like, I don't want to feel like, oh my God, Lydia's going to take this the wrong way. I have to really watch my words.
You think because if people do things differently, they're in the wrong.
I never told you you were in the wrong. I never said.
You don't say it, but you act like it.
Lydia, I wasn't judging you, but like, I didn't 100% like the way you handled that situation at all. That's the truth. Like, I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings. I'm not judging you. I didn't like it. I would have handled it differently.
I actually feel like this is a really fair statement, because saying that's not the way I would have handled something, I think that's a good jumping off point to grow and change. And we don't always handle everything right. And she goes 0 to pissed off in a second, because she's like, that makes me feel like you want someone who's more level-headed. And I was like, that's not what
he said.
Yeah,
I have a few different feelings about this conversation. First of all, it seems like a bad time to be having it. I'm like, you picked this moment to have your first fight? This seems odd.
And also, there's a curiously ill-timed waiter that keeps coming and, like, bringing courses at the peak emotional part of their conversations. You know, the director was like, okay, wait till she gets a little louder and go with salads. Salads, go. It was so uncomfortable. This waiter was like, I'm going to make
this
it big,
big
from
fight.
This.
Yeah. One thing that I got from this was that Milton seemed like he has to work really hard and be very careful. And he says that in the getting dressed for the wedding scene, whatever the fuck, the suit scene. He says, I have to really be careful about the order that I put my words in, or something like that. And I think that's coming from a place of really understanding by this point that Lydia gets upset very quickly. And he is, I think, very super conflict avoidant. Like, in this scene, it really came out that, like, his style of avoidance and her style of anger are a very not great combination. He's trying really hard not to spark anything, and she's ready to erupt at any moment, which is not good. I do agree that, like, I wrote, asking someone to clean up after themselves is not the same thing as asking somebody to have a completely different emotional response to something, and he doesn't get to tell her how she should and shouldn't react to things, but I don't think she took it well.
But I think they have the potential to learn from each other. I kind of said that last episode, like, somewhere in the middle, if she is hot and fiery and emotional and reactive, and somewhere between Milton having zero reaction, I feel like they can, like, learn and grow together. Like, this could be a good thing. Like, he says, I would have handled that differently. She could have said, how would you have handled it? I mean, I see things that I over or under react to all the time. I think to myself, how could I have handled that differently? But I do. I mean, I have emotions.
We all
have trauma, rejection sensitivity disorder. I have all these things. And then when you have someone and you can like mirror them and be like, oh, I wish I would have said that or talked about that. But they're kind of just sitting pointing fingers in this moment.
Yeah, this conversation went sideways pretty fast. I can also see how for Lydia, dealing with somebody like Milton, like my husband, before he stopped drinking, had no emotion. Like, he was so flat affected. And he told me in the very beginning of our relationship, because I said something to him like, you don't really get mad much, do you? And he said, no, it really drove my ex crazy. We were having a fight once and she threw like a carton of milk at me. She got so frustrated. And as time went on, I completely understood why she did that. I was like, oh, you don't respond. And it is infuriating. And I have been in the past somebody who goes from 0 to 60, and to deal with somebody who just stays at 0 just added to my frustration. And yes, I think that they could really learn from each other if they give themselves time and really be intentional about it. But I don't know that they're going to do that.
And so they kind of end it a little bit. You know, he's like, I hate disagreements. She's like, do you think I like them? I was like, this isn't going anywhere. Then they start talking about the Uche scene. And this is where the crux of Milton's emotional response comes from, or as much emotion as Milton is able to give. She basically says, I said all these things about Uche. I call them an asshole because he is. And he says, thank you for telling me for the millionth time. We get this like sting on the music and Lydia is annoyed, but that's the argument. Thank you for telling me for the millionth time. Milton is sick of talking about Uche. That is what the issue is. He wants to move on. He doesn't want to think of this issue that she had with another man, and she keeps bringing it up. And I was like, he just told us what his problem was without actually telling
us. But didn't he bring it up in the scene?
He brought up how she handled the situation, and I think then she started being like, well, Uche did this and Uche did that, and he's an asshole. He's sitting there with his wrinkled shirt. Lydia excuses herself. It's fine. Couples fight. People need a break. She goes to the corner and cries, but it doesn't look like she's crying. Was she crying?
I mean, who knows, because we couldn't see her face and they can edit whatever they want.
I think she just needed to like regulate her emotions, which good for you. If you need to go take a break, go take a break. I just don't know in moments like this if they really bring out the best of each other, but I don't know. She says this. What do you think about this statement? I'm sorry I've done things you don't like.
No, that's not how you communicate. That's not how you apologize. I think it's okay to say, I'm sorry that I upset you. I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. Not, I'm sorry if I made you feel that way.
I feel like that's just, I'm sorry you feel that way.
If you follow it up with, I want to be better.
Yes.
Like, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. I want to make sure I don't in the future. I will work on that. Help me, help me, help you, help me work on that.
Nope. You were nailing it and then you went south. It's like, I'm sorry I've done things you don't like. I would like to be better. Let's find a way to help each
and
other.
And he says earlier about the cleaning up after himself, he says, I'm trying my best and I'll try harder. And her response is, this is you trying your best, which is like, no.
It's a little not great. You know, she probably didn't grow up in, I didn't either. I didn't grow up in a home that was very healthy in terms of communication like that. And she says, I'm loud, I'm emotional. Even when I don't say words, I know my face is saying something. I'm like, girl, same. The words that come out on my face in my silence, I'm aware of it and I can't fix it. Can somebody fix my face for me? If you're listening and you have a solution, I am all ears, because I need a mirror or I need Botox in every inch of my face, but my face is fucked up.
Yeah, same. My friend tells me, edit your face. I get it.
Yep. That is where we leave off with this episode. Next episode is the wedding. Should we have like a watch party? Should we watch it together? Should we hold each other? Should we make some bets in Vegas?
Honestly,
what are we doing?
I would love to have a watch party.
I don't have the login for Grab Bag Collab Instagram, you all. You know it would be different if I did. And so let's figure that out. I'm excited to see Milton's family during the wedding. What are you excited about?
Sure, it's going to be a lot of like huffing and eyebrow raising.
I would love to raise my eyebrows if I could. I haven't raised my eyebrows since 2009, but here we are.
I will say that I did watch the trailer, and Netflix has fucked with me so many times with the way they edit these trailers that...
Oh, yeah. We are in the palm of their hands. They are the puppet master, and we are fucking Pinocchio.
Yeah, so there's a part of me that's like, oh my God, she's crying. That must mean... And then I'm like, nope, it doesn't mean anything. I'm going to stick with my thing that I don't think any one of these people should say yes, which is not how I felt about every couple ever on this show. You know what I would love just for the schadenfreude of it? I would love for Stacey to say yes and then Izzy to say no. Just because I want to see that. I've never said I'm a good person.
No, I appreciate your authenticity and your transparency. But I guess we will see. So check out our socials to see if we wrangle together a watch party, because that would be really fun.
And if you want us to give Ellen access to the Grab Bag Collab Patreon posting, let us know. And we will.
I don't think they should. I think that that is a gift that I have not earned. And I think I'm a monster. And I think I will be a control freak and I should be stopped. So I'm gonna say, if you disagree, I agree with you.
Well, I appreciate your self-reflection.
All right. Well, Tony Award winner Daisy Egan, here we go. This shit show train is coming into the station. I can't wait to watch.
I'm so ready to go.
Thank you all for joining us on Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. We love interacting with you on our Patreon page and hearing your thoughts on the episode and your predictions. So please continue to do that. Daisy, do you go on our Patreon page?
I do. The problem is, you know what I think I need to do? I'm just going to become a patron of Grab Bag so that I can respond as myself instead of as Grab Bag Collab.
Oh, got it. I am a patron of Grab Bag Collab. I have been since day one. So I feel powerful.
You are a better person than I.
Till next time, my friends. Thank you for joining
us.
Love you, Daisy.
Bye.
See you guys later.